radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Country singer-songwriter Steve Rivers, like many other Canadian artists before him, made the move to Nashville, where he writes with some of country music's biggest hitmakers, performs for U.S. audiences, and records. His independent debut album, Beginnings of a Work in Progress, from 2008, has earned him success not only as a talented singer and guitarist, but also as an aspiring songwriter and producer. Steve has co-written and worked with many of Nashville's top songwriters, and we'll get some stories on that on today's show. He also heads back to Ontario. In fact, he's here now in Ontario where he performs, and he is currently finishing his new album, which he is finishing up in Nashville, and that's going to be released in March of this year. His first single from the album is a song called Uncomplicated. We're going to play it on the show and hear all about it, and that hit radio stations this month, in fact. My pleasure to welcome back to the show, Steve Rivers. Hey, Steve.
How you doing, Dave?
Doing just terrific. How about you?
Great. It's good to be back.
Yeah, we had you back here in June of last year, so I know a lot has happened between then and now. And, in fact, your new album is just about done. Can you give us an update on it and how you're feeling about getting ready to release it?
Yeah, I'm very excited. It's been a long time coming. I'm finishing it up in Nashville with a producer named Jimmy Doolin, and I was finishing up a few more tracks on it and getting the final touch-ups to it, and then should be up by first week of March. That's the deadline.
Now, how many songs on the album, Steve, are going to be ones that you've written or co-written?
On this album, we're going to do five.
Nice.
There's three outside cuts. I'm hoping to put out an 8-track album. That's what we're aiming for. There'll be three outside cuts and then five of my originals.
Now, when you're in that process, and you mentioned this to me, the lead single, Uncomplicated, is written by other writers. So is that difficult for you as a writer yourself, and you believe in your songs, to make room for other, as we call them, outside songs, songs from other writers?
Yeah, well, I was pitched the song Uncomplicated back in 2010. When I was working with Danny Wells, and you know, at the time, I've never done any outside stuff before, never been pitched any material, and so it was new to me being on the other side of the table as a songwriter, just being the artist getting pitched material, and you know, the motto in Nashville is, you know, the best song wins, and when I first heard Uncomplicated, I was like, wow, this song is amazing, and at first I didn't think, you know, it was my kind of style, and then, you know, I took the song home and listened to it for a few days and just sat with it, lived with it, and I just, you know, I just knew the song was amazing and I couldn't pass it up, and I had to record it. So, I mean, it's like, you know, when you're an actor and you get sent a script that's just amazing, you know, you can't pass up that right. kind of opportunity, and I was very blessed to be able to get that song and to record it.
Yeah, ultimately, when the listener is listening, they might appreciate if they find out that you wrote a particular song, but ultimately when they're listening to you sing a song, that's what they're focusing on. So as you said, the best song is going to win, and that's the one you want to record.
Absolutely. And, you know, a song like Uncomplicated, I mean, it really, really spoke to me, and it was really honest. And, you know, it's really about, you know, finding someone or being with someone that is essentially, yeah, uncomplicated. I mean, it's just, you know, easy to be with. And, you know, every time you're with her, it's like the littlest things just make you feel, just make you fall in love over and over again, kind of thing. And, you know, I'm sure, hopefully people have relationships like that where, you know, like the littlest things, and you kind of rediscover a person again and realize the reason why you love them, kind of thing. And, you know, I thought that song really said it perfectly, and I was really, really glad I recorded it.
Yeah, the thing that really stood out to me, I mean, along with your voice and the production and all that, but the lyrics are really strong in it. They really have something to say, which as I was listening to it the first time, that's what jumped out at me.
Yeah, there's some real beautiful imagery in there. You know, the first snowfall in December and a downpour in the desert and that kind of thing. I mean, it has, like, you know, these kind of big images, but it has, like, you know, very small, simple things, like, you know, she'll give it to you straight and, you know, it's a simple in her smile, that kind of stuff. And I thought that was very powerful, and that really attracted me to it.
Now, before we get to the song, Steve, could you tell us just a bit about working with some of these writers. I'll mention some of the names, and they've written huge songs, and you've done some songwriting with them. Frank mm-hmm. Myers, he's a writer on I Swear, My Front Porch Looking In, a big hit for Lone Star. Danny Wells, Check Yes or No, huge hit for George Strait, of course, These Days, the Rascal Flatts song. And Tim Taylor's in that list as well, a great Canadian songwriter and artist. What's it like working with big names like these in the songwriting field?
It's nerve-wracking at first. I mean, because, you know, you're in the ring with some heavyweight champions here, and then, you know, but I found they've been really, really helpful. I mean, you get in there, and, you know, of course, when they first came to town, they were just like me, you know, right off the bus kind of thing with the guitar. So, you know, they knew it was life for a newcomer kind of coming in, and I've been very fortunate to have these kind of people that take me under the wing and kind of mentor me and, you know, show me how to really kind of approach an idea of a song. And I think that's the most important thing when you're writing tunes is, you know, kind of forget the title and the music. Let's just focus right on the idea, and then all that kind of stuff will come, you know. Or even if you come up with a title, what's the essential idea behind this song here? What makes it different? What makes your I Love You song different from Brad Paisley's or Carrie Underwood's, that kind of thing? And, yeah, it's great working with these people. And they're very humble, really, really nice people. Tim Taylor, for one. We've gotten together a few times. I think we've written about 5 or 6 times together, and he's got a really nice home in South Nashville, and we'd go over and, you know, make coffee in the morning and sit around and chit-chat for a bit, and then we get the writing and hit lunch, that kind of thing, and it's just, you know, like hanging out with a good buddy kind of thing. So
that's nice. So these are guys you're comfortable with now. So that makes it easier, too, because I'm sure at first when you meet somebody, and, of course, you know their credentials in songwriting, you're a bit nervous, I'm sure, sharing your own ideas.
Absolutely. I mean, I kind of compare it to dating in a way, you know. It's like you go on that first date, you're kind of really nervous, and you don't know really what to say around people, and you're kind of walking on eggshells a little bit. But once you get used to somebody and you figure out, you know, what relationships work and you start getting open with each other, that's when the best songs start coming out, because then you're really honest in the room and you don't hold back. Like there are people I write with now on a regular basis, weekly co-writes, the people that we just know our rhythm. We get into a room and no one's afraid to say what's on their mind, that kind of thing. And, you know, if an idea sucks, it sucks. If it's great, we just go right to it kind of thing, right? So it's really great when you get to that point.
Now, when you write these songs in these sessions, do you sometimes, instead of writing something that might work for you, do you ever consciously say, let's try to write a song that might fit Kenny Chesney or Tim McGraw or whoever? Do you try to write songs for other people?
I've never consciously said, let's write a song for this artist. However, when we start writing songs, once you get into a kind of a groove, you kind of go, you know, this would be great for so-and-so, or this would be great for Billy Currington. Actually, before I got on the phone with you, I got a message from one of my writers, this girl I wrote with at EMI. We've been writing a song that has a really kind of cool groove for, you know, Jason Aldean, or it has kind of like country rock kind of thing. And so anyway, her publishers are interested in doing something with it, so we're going to try to demo it. And, you know, that's kind of the first time we've kind of said, okay, yeah, that's a song that would be great for this kind of artist kind of thing. And
nice.
I've been trying to write with a lot of upcoming artists around town. There's the one girl that just came to town a little while ago. She's from Texas, and we've been writing for her project. And there's a couple other guys around town, some younger guys my age that have a couple things going on, and we're trying to write for their projects and stuff. So as a writer, it's really cool because you can diversify yourself into different styles. And you know, sometimes you write a song that's not for you the same, but it's for somebody else, and they can do a killer job for it. And, you know, you get to explore the other side of music kind of thing that you wouldn't necessarily do.
Yeah, if you're not a redneck kind of guy yourself, you can stand outside of that and write a song for Jason Aldean and kind of put yourself you know, in somebody else's shoes or boots, as the case might be.
Right. I think it's important, if you're going to write songs about something, is to really understand it. I found like when I was first getting into writing country music and stuff, it was really important for me to not only move to Nashville, but get outside Nashville and really dive into the Southern culture, travel the different parts of Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama, that kind of place, and really kind of soak up the culture and understand what it is, you know, they're writing about, singing about, and what the culture is, what people can relate to. Because, you know, kind of, and I noticed it too up here in Canada, you know, between what Canadians write about and then what people in the Midwest write about as opposed to what people in the South write about are completely different things. And, you know, even what people were singing about in Texas as opposed to Virginia, that's two different things, too. So it's all, you know, based on – there's commonalities amongst everything, but there's also little subtle cultural differences. And if you can identify that and manage to translate it in your songs, then it'll be a lot stronger for sure.
Yeah, that's really cool, Steve. Let's share the song now. It's the single out of radio. Our listeners can request it at their local country station. Before I play it, though, tell me the writers on it, because I know there's some big names on it who've written other great songs.
The one writer is Rodney Clausen, and he had a big cut with George Strait about two years ago called I Saw God Today. Beautiful song. Billy Montana, probably needs no introduction, and John Stone.
Right on.
Yep.
Great writers and a great song. Let's hear it now. This is Steve Rivers and his brand new radio single called Uncomplicated here on In the Country.
It's the simple in her smile, the untamed in her wild. She doesn't even try, but her sunshine pulls you in. She's easy like a kiss. She can't hide who she is. She'll need you like a lover, and she'll want you like a friend. She's graceful as the moonlight on the water. And now I just can't see myself without her. She's a downpour. Makes each day a little better. So absolutely underrated. She's Sunday morning faithful. I'm so grateful. Yeah, she makes loving hurt so more than she takes. She's a heart wide open dreamer with her feet on solid ground. She's thinner in a dance, a once in a lifetime chance. And God forbid if I should ever let her down. She's the first snow in December. She's the one that you'll remember. So absolutely yeah, she makes love and hurt so complicated. She's graceful as the moonlight on the water. Now I just can't see myself without.
Country artist Steve Rivers, and that is his brand new song out at radio now called Uncomplicated. Great song, and it is very catchy, Steve, and I definitely can hear that doing well at radio.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Now, do you have a title for the album yet? Are you going to call the album Uncomplicated, or do you have something else in mind?
I have two titles in mind. The one, my manager and I were talking about calling it Uncomplicated, but there's actually an over... The album kind of has like a theme to it, and... So I might sum it up. I'm thinking about the title Temptations, actually, because there's a whole bunch of songs that kind of deal with different aspects of temptation kind of thing. So I'm thinking that might be the working title. But
interesting.
We'll see how it goes.
Now, the temptation songs, Steve, are they the ones that you had a hand in writing? Or do any of the other outside songs touch on that theme?
Actually, all the outside songs do, too, actually. That's why I was listening to this thing. And it's, you know, not just... there's all sorts of temptations, you know, love temptations, risk temptations, drug and alcohol temptations, all sorts of stuff, and this album kind of plays themes in. And it's actually a cool snapshot of some of the things I've experienced over the last few years, being in Nashville and getting out on the road kind of thing, and relationships and stuff. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Do you think it's important for songs that touch on certain issues, let's say whether it's drug and alcohol or relationships, any of those things that they have a positive message, or at least a lesson that can be passed on to the listener in a positive way, not that might glamorize, you know, doing the wrong thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the most important thing is be honest, you know, be honest about the experience kind of thing and what went on. And yeah, that you can have the overall moral, you know, aspect to it of, you know, of recovery or
sure.
That kind of thing, definitely put that in. I mean, you don't really want to be glorifying anything bad because it can turn off your listeners kind of thing. And me personally, I don't like to glorify that kind of stuff anyway. But yeah, absolutely. If you can definitely have a positive twist to it. I mean, I think, you know, if you're writing a reflective song, I mean, it doesn't have to have a happy message to it. Just be about an honest experience. And I think Eric Church is very good about doing that, especially if you heard his first album. There's a lot of songs about real honest reflection on some down points, and it just some of the imagery out of it, it's very touching, very moving.
There's a song in there, I believe it's on Eric Church's first album, called Lightning, which is so powerful.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I always I'll probably listen to that record at least once a week, just just because, like, you know, when you start listening to the songs and to the imagery and how every line has a relationship to the idea and the title, you train your head to sort of think that way. And I think, you know, as a textbook, I guess you could say, for all songwriters, I think that's the album to get. Probably
very cool. So you can obviously get inspired by listening to other artists, and something about what they're doing can inspire your own sound and your own songs.
Yeah, definitely. And it's always good to listen to other, I mean, a variety of different styles of music, too. Because I write with a lot of females, I always try to keep on what's going on in you know, the female artists, like Miranda Lambert to Lady Gaga to Beyonce to you know, just a whole variety of stuff, because you never know who you're gonna write with. You know, like I said, there's a girl I'm writing with right now who's 19, and then there's a girl I'm writing with who's 23, and then, you know, it could be writing with somebody in their, you know, early 30s, you know, next month. You never know, right? So it's always good to have a variety of things and different styles of music you can pull out.
And each of those ages, they're going to be writing about something, different approach to life or different outlook on life because of the age. Somebody at 20 versus, say, early 30s is seeing things a little differently.
Oh, sure. I mean, take Taylor Swift, for example. I mean, I'm really actually excited to see what she'll be writing, what kind of stuff she'll be writing about at 26. You know, I think it'll be very different from what she's writing, you know, right now, or, you know, two albums ago. You know, she'll probably be writing about...
Yeah, yeah.
Who knows, maybe when she's in her 30s, starting writing songs about starting a family kind of thing, right?
Exactly.
And, you know, if you do have fans that grow up with you, you know, they're going to relate to that. And it's, I always say, you know, an album is a snapshot of where you are, right, in your life. And it's very interesting. The Beatles are a prime example. If you look at different periods during the Beatles and stuff, you can, you know, they can tell they're writing about different things, what was going on in their personal lives and stuff. And, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's great. Do you feel you have a good ear for the production side of songs, Steve? You obviously, you know, when you're writing them with the guitar and just bare bones, but when you go into the studio, do you have ideas, ways you think the song should come together?
Yeah, I co-produced this. I co-produced my first album. I'm co-producing the new one I'm doing now. I went to school for engineering and music business and stuff, so I try to being the creative side as much as possible. Usually when I write something, I start hearing a groove in my head, and I'll hear, like, different production things, like maybe intro starting off with a certain drum beat, or, you know, maybe just an acoustic guitar kind of thing and some small percussion, and then, you know, different arrangement of instruments. Like, maybe a certain song doesn't need a solo, but, you know, having a cool, maybe steel instrumental part sound way better, that kind of thing. And
right.
But I always love having outside ideas too. And you know, the best part about Nashville is you have, you know, this collection of amazing musicians, and when they come in, they put a lot of their spin on it. And you know, you kind of tell them, you know, hey, I'm looking for this kind of feel, and you know, they'll put something down. And you know, if you don't like it, then you always tell them, hey, can you just maybe modify this a little bit? And you know, it sounds great.
Let's talk about Amanda Nagurny now, the singer, and songwriter herself, who has a song out that you had a hand in writing called You Can Make It On Your Own. What can you tell us about her and the song?
Yeah, I was very thankful that she put that on the record. We met actually at a house concert in Franklin about a year ago and played together in a songwriting round, and we both really liked our styles a lot. So we got together and wrote one in the afternoon and had a really good song we kind of wrote together, and then came back again, I guess, a month later to do some more writing. And she had this title called, Don't Look in Your Rearview Mirror kind of thing. And I was like, oh, that's kind of a cool idea itself, not necessarily a title. And we just started just writing the song and about this girl kind of moving on with her life and starting a life in a new place and kind of stepping outside of her boundaries kind of thing. And we finished the song in, I think, maybe 2 hours kind of thing. And the strange thing was she was about to go into the studio the week later to go record her album, and she had all 10 of her songs picked out for this new record. And she goes to me, you know, I have all the songs picked out, but Steve, this song needs to be on it. And, of course, I'm thinking, you know, that'd be great, but, you know, if a gosh, you can end up on the album, right? And then sure enough, 2 weeks later, I get a phone call from her saying, Steve, I made it on there, and here's the rough mix. Take a listen. And I was just blown away by it.
That's awesome. What is the last-minute thing, eh? It's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I love her version. Like, we had, you know, my scratch demo that we did in GarageBand, but when you hear the full production of it, it just gave me, you know, goosebumps kind of thing, and her voice on it was incredible, and some really good players and stuff were on the session, so it came together really, really good.
Well, let's share the song now, the one you've just talked about, written by my guest Steve Rivers and the artist Amanda Nagurny. She's the one singing it. This is You Can Make It On Your Own on In the Country.
She slammed the trunk door of her 07 Ford. You could tell in her eyes she'd never done this before. 18 and afraid, on her way to L.A. It'd be the last time for a while she would see this place. But she waved goodbye as her mama said.
great new song from Amanda Nagurny, co-written by her, along with my guest, Steve Rivers. You can head to AmandaNagurny.com, and right when you get to the website, I was just checking it out, that's where you can order her album from that features that song. So hopefully we'll sell a few more of those CDs there, Steve.
Thank you.
Now, where can we find you online? You've got a ReverbNation.com website?
Yep. You can look me up on SteveRiversMusic.com. We're redoing that website right now, but there are some links to jump off from there. I'm on Facebook. Just look up Steve Rivers. I have a fan page and a friend page, a MySpace, Reverb Nation. You can follow me on Twitter. And newly, we have a Google Plus page now.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's the new big thing now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a new online fad. So it's actually pretty cool, actually. You can put people in different circles and things, and it's cool.
Right on. The new album coming out in March from my guest Steve Rivers, and those are the places you can find him online. His latest single is Uncomplicated. You can request that at your local country station. As we get set to wrap things up here, Steve, I wanted to ask you about duet partners, and usually I ask another country artist, but just to make it a little interesting, we did this with Jason Blaine the other night. Is there an artist from another genre that you could see yourself singing a duet with, recording it as well?
Ooh, okay. I would love to do a song with Alicia Keys. I think
nice.
She'd be really fun to do. Sing with. Trying to think who else. There's a Canadian group, duo actually, called Dalla. They're from Ontario, and they got beautiful harmonies. I would love to do a song with them if possible. They have a folk alternative rock kind of sound, and it's really, really cool.
Yeah, I've heard of them, and I've heard a bit of their music, too. That's great. Steve, it's been a real pleasure having you back on the show, and real excited to hear more of the songs from the album, and wish you all the best in the meantime, and we'll do this again down the road.
Well, thank you so much, Dave. Appreciate you having me down, and yeah, I'll talk to you soon.
That sounds great. My guest today has been Ontario country artist Steve Rivers, who now calls Music City home, and once again, the new album coming out in just a few months. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.